This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors. We hope you're joining us this morning. If we're not coming through online, let us know. Already got one indicator from Robin that she can't hear us over the WCBM app. I don't know what's going on with that, but you all can let me know by text or by email what's going on. And I'm sure that those that who are listening by email and can't get or by on their computer can't get the show will let us know soon enough. If you're now, see here, that was almost ridiculous. If you don't know me and you don't know my phone number and you're listening online and you can't get the show, how can you hear what I'm asking? How can you hear my request to email me and let me know that the thing's not working? I don't know. Anyway, if it's working or not, I can't tell you. I know Miss Robin is not happy about that. I think she's going to go sit in the car, but I hope not. Anyway, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. New rules and regulations book came out. For the upcoming hunting season. Hold on. Sorry. They've got a few changes in the book, and some that were promoted and some that weren't. So let's see what happens here. What's new? Well, there's the governor. There's Mark Belton. There's Mr. Pedito. New laws and regulations. Let's take a look at that. That's on page 5. And here's what it says. Air guns that shoot bullets, arrows, or bolts are legal for most game species. See each game species for regulations. Air guns that shoot bullets, arrows, or bolts, which would be crossbow arrows, are legal for most game species. See each game section for regulations. So I guess when you go to the small game section, you'll find out what's legal. You go to the deer section, you'll find out what's legal. Certain air guns are legal for hunting white-tailed deer and sika deer during the firearm season only, and black bears during the bear season. To be legal for deer and bear hunting, an air gun must have a working safety and shoot one 40 caliber or greater bullet or ball at a single discharge, which generates at least 400 foot-pounds of muzzle energy, or shoot an arrow bolt at least 18 inches in length with a minimum speed of 300 feet per second at release with a sharpened broadhead with metal points and a minimum width of 7/8 of an inch. Okay. Personal opinion, you might be able to take an animal at close range, but you're not going to shoot that deer out there at 100 yards with any of these. Airbow, air gun that shoots a 40 caliber bullet or any of that. There's not enough foot pounds. There's just not enough muzzle energy, downrange energy to be humanely effective on an animal. Now, an arrow that kills a little differently than a bullet by hemorrhage rather than by hydrostatic shock, that's one thing. But it's not going to be effective out past the range of normal archery equipment. Just saying. When crossbows came on the scene, we heard some ridiculous stories of people shooting 50, 60, 70 yards with a crossbow. You know, there are people taking shots with compound bows at 60, 70, 80, 100 yards. Insane. insane. Now, I will say this. If you are confident enough and have trained enough and have practiced enough to take a shot with a bow in excess of 50 yards, well, my hat's off to you. There are big game hunters. There are people who hunt sheep and big game, in remote places that may need a shot over 50 yards. And they've practiced and they understand trajectory and everything else. Average guy, you and me, wants to buy a bow, kill a deer, go out and practice, start practicing now for the hunting season coming up in 2 months, and you hone your skills. You might go to a 3D shoot. You might go to the range a little bit. You might go to the pro shop and shoot a little bit. Do like I do, shoot in the backyard. And, practice enough to know what your effective range is. I personally, I don't like to take a shot past 20 yards. I'll take a 30-yard shot with a compound bow, maybe. Recurve bow, never past 20. But that's the key, that's the fun of the whole thing, is to put yourself in a position along the trail where, the animal's going to approach you at a close range. That's the cool part, the up close and personal part about it. So, I went off on a tangent talking about these air guns and air bows and things like that. Here we are. Legislation passed during the 2017 General Assembly created several changes for hunters in Maryland. Sunday hunting has been added for deer hunting in Kent County on private land only. Some new shooting hours restrictions apply. Sunday hunting has been added for deer hunting in Montgomery County on private land only. Some new shooting restrictions apply. We'll get into that in a little bit. Sunday hunting has been added for turkey hunting during the junior hunt and spring season in Kent County on private land only. Non-resident are no longer prohibited from trapping beavers or river otters in Maryland. That move was approved by the Maryland Trappers Fur Trappers Association. In Montgomery County, the safety zone for archers is now 50 yards. However, archers must use a tree stand when hunting within 50 to 100 yards of an occupied dwelling or another building. So no spot and stalk on private land. No hunting from the ground. You must be in a climbing stand. You must be in a ladder stand. You must be in an elevated tree stand. Hunting license is no longer required to hunt groundhogs in Frederick County. Anybody can go out and shoot a groundhog in Frederick County just because they can. A new apprentice hunting license is now available for first-time hunters. The apprentice hunting license is available to both residents and non-residents who have never hunted before, and that's on page 54 of the guide. Satisfactory completion of a short online hunter safety course is required prior to purchasing the license, and the apprentice hunter is required to hunt with a resident at least 18 years old who possesses a valid Maryland hunting license. Okay. Myrtle Point Park Cooperative Wildlife Management Area is a new 192-acre public hunting area located in St. Mary's County. Hunting is limited to archery, deer hunting, and waterfowl hunting. Access requires possession of a free Southern Region public hunting permit and a daily reservation, and that's on page 62. Some of that's new. What isn't listed is something that raised the ire of one of the writers for the Outdoorsman, for Maryland Hunting Quarterly and the Salisbury Times, and I'll get into that in a minute. Also, let me talk about Montgomery County for a minute. Montgomery County hunting has been expanded to Sundays. However, there are only three, that you can hunt all day on a Sunday. The first Sunday in November, Youth Day, Youth Sunday, and the first Sunday of the firearm season. That is it. Everything else, every other expansion of Sunday hunting and no muzzleloader hunting in archery season, you must leave, you must quit your hunt, you must be done by 10:30 in the morning. Thank you, Maryland Horse Council. Thank you, Chairman of the Environmental Matters Committee in the Senate. We really appreciate the restrictions on Sunday hunting where we can't go out after church for the afternoon or, take advantage of the evening deer movement. We've got to show up before daylight and only hunt till 10:30 in the morning for the entire archery season on a Sunday. Every other day is fine. Sundays is what we're talking about. All right, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. And there's Chuck. Stream is down again. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I really don't, folks. This whole streaming thing has got me at a loss. I come in here for 2 hours a week. I can't imagine what it's like since we're on 24/7 if you'd like to listen to WCBM. Certainly not trying to expand their audience by not having this thing fixed, and I don't know why. It's not. Been going on for a month or more. So I apologize to those of you who attempted to listen online, who've got to get out the old AM radio or go sit in the car. And, you know, I'm not an engineer. I can't fix it. Ron can't fix it either, can you, Ron? Yeah, well, the app on the phone's not working. The app on the computer's not working. Nothing's working. There's no streaming working at all. So that's what they're telling me. So I don't think it's directed at me. I just think it's a shame that they can't get the thing fixed. Anyway, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. I'm going to tell you this one more thing, and then hopefully you can comment on some of this stuff. We'll get into more of the rules and regulations on the new hunting rules and regulations. I told you last week that the shareholders of Cabela's were going to vote whether or not to accept the offer of Bass Pro Shops to buy Cabela's. It only took 35 people, about 20 minutes, on Tuesday to approve a $4 billion merger that's been lingering for months. Backed by that Cabela's CEO Tommy Milner calls overwhelming support, the shareholders of Cabela's approved their proposed merger with Bass Pro Shops. Under the current terms, shareholders will receive $61.50 per share for the stock, which has been trading between $58.90 and $59.94. So you're going to get $2 on your share. After the merger, the companies will be based in Springfield, Missouri. No word on how many of the 1,000 workers in Cabela's Sydney, Nebraska headquarters will be retained. Bass Pro has anything to do with it? Cabela's stock closed trading yesterday at $59.97, up 8 cents. That was on Wednesday. So on Tuesday, it closed at $59.97. Shareholders have been paid $61.50 per share. So there you go. Cabela's and Bass Pro, one big, happy, mushed-up family. Let's see how that works out. Really don't know how that's going to go. Each one has their fans, and their brands have been, you know, accepted universally. I can tell you that some higher-end hunting organizations prefer one brand over the other. And, you know, what are you going to do? Big business. So it looks like Bass Pro Shop is going to have a giant growth spurt here with the addition of all the Cabela's stores. So there, and probably the internet business and everything else. So it'll be a huge boost for Bass Pro Shop. Any comments on that? 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. And let me tell you what. It's hot out there, you know. And I know if you're grilling, you're only going to do it in the evening after it starts to cool down a little bit. I get that. But, you know, you got to eat, right? And corn on the cob, 4 minutes in the microwave, maybe five. Half hour on the grill, on the rack up above the hot spot, you know. You can do some good corn. And you know where I get my corn, and you know where I recommend you get yours. Yep, Papa John Farm in Severn. Tomatoes, too. They help them grow their own. Watermelons, oh my gosh, cantaloupe, oh, we had some sweet cantaloupe the other day that was just spectacular. Summer is the time for picnics and family get-togethers and camping trips. Summer is corn on the cob and fresh tomatoes. Summer's cold, juicy melons. You know the Schillinger family, they love corn on the cob, and it comes right off the field. And, you know, when they steam crabs, they take a little corn on the cob and throw it right in there with the steam crab, put the crab spice on the corn when they're doing it. Oh, it's wonderful. If you like your time outdoors with great taste and food, head to Schillinger's, Papa John's Farm in Severn. At their enormous produce barn, their own tasty super sweet corn and homegrown tomatoes are ready to go. There's squash and zucchini and pepper and onions and, you know, all the fruits, all the all the peaches and plums and that type of stuff, green beans, cucumbers, mouth-watering cantaloupes, and sweet, 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 sweet watermelons. Papa John's Farm, located off I-97 at exit 12, 8065 New Cut Road in Severn. That phone number, 410-969-8810. Papa John's Farm is open every day, Monday, Saturday, 9 to 7, Sunday, 9 to 6. That phone number is 969-8810. If you need corn for a reunion or for your church gathering or picnic, visit Schillinger's Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W. Tire and Auto.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I'll keep my freedom. I'll keep my guns. Try to keep my money and my religion too. Try to keep on smiling. I will keep my Christian name, and y'all can keep the change. I'll keep my heroes' pictures on the wall. I'll keep my family safe. You bluff and I'll call. I'm gonna keep my big V8. Keep my friends the same. Keep the government out of my business, and y'all can keep the change. This country should.
All right, a little Hank for you in the morning. All right, this is good. So, we had a bill that was touted as the a housekeeping bill. Senate or House Bill 10. House Bill, let's see, what's it? What is it? 1026. 0126, excuse me. And it did have some housekeeping things in there. It talked about funding for FHFH, you know, and eliminating the prospect of having a dollar donated by every hunting license, and why it was, you know, against a federal audit and all that type of thing. It had, some general stuff in there. But what was in there And we kind of saw it, but we didn't really pay much attention to it. It said it. It's in the new hunting handbook. There wasn't any talk about it, but it was, you know, the proposal was never, it was never brought up at any stakeholders meeting, but now it's law. And it says, remove the longstanding landowner exemption from wearing hunter orange. It's been on the books long before me, and let landowners make the choice when hunting on their own property. Now, I didn't print this out, but basically what it says, if, you know, farmer's out or a member of his family's out, they're working on the farm and deer runs across the property during deer season, they take the rifle and they get meat for the freezer. Okay. Excuse me. It just made it convenient for landowners to hunt on their own property, private property, without wearing blaze orange, fluorescent orange, because everybody knew where everybody was going to be and so forth. Now, safety notwithstanding, and it is a very, I mean, look, I'm a big proponent of hunter orange, no question about it, a big proponent, because, quite frankly, I've had a couple close calls, even wearing orange, I've had a couple close calls. I've been hunting 50 years, and, you know, I can remember two or three instances where I didn't feel safe, even though I was wearing hunter orange. Safe being in the sights of my fellow hunters, let's put it that way. Anyway, private property owners, you know, landowners have been exempt from wearing fluorescent orange for generations. Now they have to. So I guess that means if Farmer John is out there on his tractor, and it happens to be hunting season, and a deer comes out, and he's got his, you know, he got his rifle there in his tractor, and he wants to take a deer like he's done every year, and his father did, and his grandfather did, you know, just doing his normal work chores, and a deer happens to come by. Well, guess what? Now he's got to put his orange on. He's got to put his required fluorescent orange on. Well, you might say, well, why didn't Farmer John just wear an orange hat? Why didn't Farmer John just, you know, as part of his regular gear during hunting season, wears fluorescent orange? Well, maybe some of them do. All you need is a vest or a hat, 250 square inches, you know. Some of them do. They just don't want to be told they have to do that on their own land. So this law was really kind of buried in the legislation. You know, it's just a housekeeping bill. And we kind of looked over it and we saw some things and we said, oh, yeah, it doesn't. But it did kind of slip by. But it was never discussed in a stakeholders meeting that I know. And just kind of thought you might like to hear about that if you're a private landowner. Now, during the hunting seasons, firearms and muzzleloader seasons, you're going to have to wear fluorescent orange on your own property. So let's see if I can find the regulation on that. I didn't turn to this beforehand or anything like that, but we'll check it out here. Wow. Hurts. Deer hunting. Firearms, rifle, shotgun. Well, I'll dig for that maybe during the next break or something like that, and we'll figure out where it is in the book so you can look it up on yourself, okay? 410 WCBM 680, you're letting me hang out here, folks. We've got no callers, and of course, callers on when we are, you know, out there on the app are more frequent, more common, and we appreciate that, but we know we're booming into some of your homes and cars. I need to be rescued. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. So we would appreciate hearing from you on any of this stuff we talked about today. Yep. Hold on a minute. Get a little coffee in me. Maybe I'll be able to. Been having this sinus drainage stuff. I don't know if you can pick it up or not, but it would be difficult not to if you talk to me in person. I don't know how it's coming through over the microphone or not. Would you folks give Ron something to do here today? He's a new guy, fill-in guy for Chris. He wants to talk to you on the phone. He's a really nice guy. His last name is Savage. He's not related to Michael Savage, so don't even think about that. But, you know. Let's see what the email has to say. Ah, streaming's down, the internet's off. You know, eh, great, good news. Love to hear it. Yep. Yes, it does, John B. It does mess with our listening base, and it does annoy Robin, who's listening, trying to listen at the house. And I'm sorry about that, sweetie, but it's just not my fault. I wish I could fix it, but I can't. I can't. While we're waiting for the call, I'm going to keep trying to look at the orange regulations here. I don't even know where to find them in the book. Have you seen this new thing on, see, there we go. There are our callers. Thank you for helping me. I sure appreciate that. All right. While Ron's getting the caller straightened out, there's three or four of you online. Let's talk to Ross in Pasadena. Ross, good morning. Can you hear me okay? Hello,
hey,
Ross.
Mark, how are you?
I'm good. Oh, Mark.
Yeah.
Okay.
how are you, Ed?
I have no idea. I'm good. I'm confused right now. How are you, Mark?
Well, I'm a little confused, but, you know.
Well, it says your name is Ross in Pasadena, and you want to talk about crab pots, so do you?
Well, I can talk about that. I was kind of curious about the horse people. Do they pay for anything?
What do you mean by that? Do they pay for anything?
The horse people, do they pay anything to maintain the outdoors?
No.
Okay.
Well, wait a minute. If they want to go fox chasing, okay? Now, they pursue foxes with dogs and horses and claim they don't kill them. Okay? They just chase them. But if I want to just chase raccoons with my dogs and go entertain myself for an evening, I've got to have a hunting license. If I want to go chase rabbits and train my rabbit dog with no gun during the off season, I have to have a hunting license, and anybody that goes with me to observe has to have a hunting license. Even if it's not hunting season, you must have a legal hunting license. But the fox chasers are exempt from having a hunting license. Now, when they get together for an organized fox chasing excursion, because a fox is a fur bearer, they must purchase a group fur bearer permit. Okay? Now, if I want to take a coyote or a fox during the hunting season when I'm out there, I must purchase a $5 fur bearer permit to allow me to take a fox, a coyote, or whatever it might be. Got it?
Yeah.
They pay a grand total for all 50 horseback riders and 50 horses and 50 dogs, a $10 fee.
$240 shy.
Hmm?
$240 shy.
As a numbers man, yes, that would be correct. That would be correct. Now, there was a bill introduced years ago to charge a fur bearer fee of, I think it was over $200 for every fox for every fox hunt. The bill never made it. The bill did not pass. Okay? It was defeated in the General Assembly. However, there is now an establishment of a $10 fur bearer permit for fox chasers. And the excuse from Wildlife and Heritage is there's no charge for the permit for fox chasers, but it's a $10 administrative fee, because they're using the internet to purchase their tag. So it's an internet administrative fee that's charged to issue this permit. I want to call something on that, and I think you know what it is. But you know, here's our Wildlife and Heritage Service, the bill to have this permit, you know, reasonably priced, was defeated by the General Assembly. So DNR says, we'll just charge them an administration fee and give them a free permit for $10 for the entire party. Do you know how many fox chases there are in Maryland every year?
I haven't a clue, Bob, but it's more not. I bet it's a lot.
About 130. There's about 9 or 10 fox chasing clubs out there. Okay? And they organize their fox chases throughout the season, throughout the year. They're not required to have a hunting license. They're not required to have any orange. They are not required to have their photo ID. They are not required to have written permission. They are not required, other than the group fur bearer permit, to have a fur taker's license. Now, what happens if a dog catches a fox? Let's say there's a fox out there that has, something like rabies or, maybe mange or something like that, and it can't outrun the pack of 50 dogs. And the dogs catch the fox. What happens then? Well, we don't talk about that. There was an attempt in the House and the Senate to license fox chasers in the last session. Went down in flames. The horse council objected. Horse council has a seat at the table, okay, when it comes to the stakeholders. As you say, they have no skin in the game, but they do have a seat at the table.
Yeah, so the fishermen and gun owners who pay for everything.
Exactly. Yes, the hunters that buy a hunting license.
You know, this really isn't, Alan, it's really a reflection of where they came from in England.
The aristocracy?
The inherited privilege.
Sure.
This really is, they've recreated the same circumstances where they're just free riders, literally.
Well said. Can we get you to testify in the General Assembly next time?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, God, during tax season? what am I thinking?
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Have a good week.
All right. See you, Mark. Bye-bye. There he goes. Now we've got Ross in Pasadena. Good morning, Ross. What's going on?
Hi, Alan. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. Good. Two quick questions. Number one, is there a penalty if you're caught stealing crabs from a residential crab pot?
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Local Natural Resources Police need to be contacted on that one. And the answer is yes, there is.
Okay, that's happening in our creek right now.
Mm-hmm. Has anybody called NRP?
No, but I'm going to. I do have some night surveillance gear. They're coming in at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe I'd at least try to get a record of,
Well, you can get a boat number at least.
Yeah.
You know?
They're probably coming in kayaks or some light boat. And question number two.
Well, I'll get your night vision out and, I would have NRP on that one in a heartbeat. They have this program called Don't Get Pinched. And, it's all about that kind of stuff, illegal crabbing and that type of thing. But theft of crabs out of somebody's crab pot, that's just common.
I know.
I
have evidence of it as far as not finding the people that are doing it. But I have my crab pots and my holding tank and everything. And I had a dozen and a half, and it was gone. They even crushed part of one of my pots getting into it. I guess they hit it with the boat and everything.
Good,
my neighbors
great.
Are having the same problem.
Yeah, well, get together and put up a little reward.
Yeah.
Okay.
Question number two is, I was on the pier the other day, and as I was approaching the shoreline by a bunch of reeds, I heard this swish, and I looked down real fast, and I saw some furry-looking object. I didn't. It was gone too fast to identify it, but
right.
It looked like it was about, I don't know, 18 inches long or something. Would that have been a muskrat?
Could have been a muskrat. Could have been a beaver.
Oh, okay.
Either one. Could have been an otter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Could have been a mink. There's a number of aquatic mammals that we have around here.
Yeah.
So was it a medium brown color? Or was it black? What color?
It seemed to be a sort of a darker brown.
A darker brown is probably going to be a beaver or a mink.
Okay.
But it depends. I mean, a beaver, you can pretty much tell they're pretty good size.
Right.
You know, I'm sure whatever you saw was probably in there munching on those reeds that we were talking about.
Right.
You know, if it's living in the water, it's going to be a beaver or a muskrat or a river otter.
Right.
But if it's, you know, if you see it on the bank and it's dark brown or blackish, it's going to probably be a mink.
Yeah.
My guess, it was either a beaver or an otter.
Yeah, we have the large blue herons that kind of hunker under the pier at times.
Right.
And they'll surprise the hell out of you.
Oh, yeah, dude, yeah.
You walk on the pier.
Oh, man, and they make a noise and they go up. They look like this phoenix rising from the ashes. I'll tell you, they scare the crap out of you, especially walking through the marsh when you know, you're just walking along and you walk up one about 10 yards away and they go up. You haven't seen them, you know.
Right.
And big old wigs go up and, oh, my gosh.
Well, I'll give you a real quick little story. I was out, this has been about last year. I was switching crabs from my, my crab pots into my holding tank.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I just felt like there was a presence around me.
Okay.
And I turned around, and right on, we have a T-shaped pier, and right probably about 4 feet behind me was a blue heron.
Stalking you.
Right behind
me. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And they're nasty birds, too, by the way. Don't corner one.
No.
You know?
No, I turned around because it just scared the hell out of me.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa! You know, and it took off, but it went up into the tree.
Yeah.
When it morning, I was also replenishing the my bait, L-wise, into the pot. And I'm sure that's probably what it detected.
Oh, I have no doubt. You're right. Yeah.
But it was really something.
Yeah, I know people that hate them because of koi ponds and things like that. They'll look out, and their prize koi will be disappearing down a big old, you know, heron gullet, but that's the way it goes.
Right. So. We have friends in England, and they have the same problem. They stock their ponds over there, and the herons will come in and grab them.
Yep.
So.
All right.
Nice talking to you.
Thanks, Ross. Appreciate the call. And let me know if you catch that guy. I'd love to hear about that.
I will. I think that they're probably local kids.
Probably.
Getting them to eat. I think they're trying to sell them.
Yeah, likely. Yeah. For God knows what purpose.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks.
Right, take care.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
All right. We got Wayne in Bowley's Quarters and then Lou in a dump truck. Good morning, Wayne. How are you, buddy?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. I just got a question for you.
Okay.
I'm not what you would call an avid fisherman, but
right.
I live on the water in Middle River.
Right.
I always have my grandkids down on Sundays,
right,
and Saturdays, and whenever they come down.
Yeah.
Now, I have a fishing license because I have it on my boat.
Right.
You know, the group.
Right.
But when they're on the pier, and my sons, who are in their 40s,
yeah,
go out there with them, do they have to be this registration thing? Do they have to be registered? I know they don't need a license, and the kids don't need a license, but there's some kind of a registration thing I read online.
Mm-hmm. Better be safe than sorry, you know, but I mean, it's all about enforcement. I mean, if somebody's going to, you know, come and enforce the law and see if you don't have a license or something, I mean, that's one thing. But if the adults aren't fishing, they're just helping the kids. I'm not sure that's a gray line. I mean, that's a blurry line for me, quite frankly.
Right.
You know, I mean, if the kids are out there with their Snoopy rods and Barbie rods and reels and the adults aren't in the act of fishing, they're just sitting there watching them, I can't imagine that it would be, you know, anybody's sure going to get cited for a license. But as far as the registration for the, no, I mean, if there's no licensed people there, you know, they're going to have to, not, as far as I'm concerned,
right,
you don't have to register.
But my other thought, I mean, what is the theory behind this? Even if it was, you know, needed. I mean,
oh, you mean the registering the social security number and all that stuff?
Yeah.
They just,
yeah.
You know, that has been a question that people want to know. Why do they want my social security number? They just want to know who's out there, I guess, and who's harvesting what. And
right.
But personally, I don't like it. I really don't.
I was going to say,
yeah.
It seems to me that it's just another, you can't say money grab because there's no money involved other than the taxpayers paying for the administration.
Well, it's,
somebody to keep up with.
Well, it's, yeah, and it's another government intrusion. So
Yep. You pretty much answered that. That's what I thought.
Yep.
I just wanted to make sure.
Okay, buddy. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Here we go. Let's talk to Lou. He's been holding a long time, then we'll take a break, okay? All right, Lou, how are you? Are you still in a dump truck?
Yeah.
What's going on, man?
Still am. I was in here so long. I mean, those calls were so long-winded that I almost forgot what I was going to call about.
Well, you're up now, so let her rip.
I had nothing to say, and I was riding around listening to the radio. And you needed calls, man. It was really quiet.
Well, it was quiet. I mean, I could hear the crickets, you know. But part of that problem is we're not streaming. We're not on the internet, you know. We're not on the cell phone apps, and people can't listen like they normally do. So anyway,
that's okay. I got two things to talk about. One was I'm sick and tired of horse racing being subsidized, stuff like that, from the government.
Okay.
And then being excused from a lot of fees.
Right. Number one, we're not talking about horse racing, but that's okay.
Right.
That's one element. Okay, we both can't talk. Go ahead.
I said horse people, that's all.
Uh-huh. Okay.
We both can't talk.
Right, so go ahead. What's your next subject?
Well, the other thing, and that just reminded me to say that it's about a horse that's the other thing I was going to say is remember in the old days when you could walk down the street carrying a rifle and nobody would bat an eye.
No, I know. Used to go to school with them in my truck and then go hunting after school with one of the teachers.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm 63, but I know three guys that went hunting one day when they were supposed to be at school, and one guy accidentally shot himself in the foot with a .22, and it went all the way through his shoe, all the way through his foot and his shoe, and he never even told his parents about it.
I know.
And he's still alive today, alive and well.
Got it. Yep. All right. Well, Lou, thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. I'll
talk. Later.
Yep. Take care.
Bye.
There he goes. Fran, you're going to have to wait till the end of the break, and then we'll get right to you. But it's time for me to tell the folks about Clyde's Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. We're talking about crabbing, crab pots, crab traps, crab bait, trot lines, crab steamers, crab spice. They've got all of that, if it regards to crabbing is concerned. Of course, hunting season's right around the corner. You can get your license, your rule book there if you need to. It's time to get your guns in to get them tweaked. If you got any little repair problems or issues like that, if you want to put some new optics on, get sighted in, you can do that too. Clyde Sports Shop has everything for the hunter and the fisherman, and they've been around for 60 years. That's right, 60 years, two brothers, same location, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They have a 24-hour fishing report, 247-3474. If you want to call them up and see what they've got, 242-6108, their website, ClydeSports.com. For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800, 410-455-0800, Linex.
High pressure builds in for the weekend, a couple of nice days for us. It'll be a little cooler and less humid. Scattered showers and storms tapering to an end here overnight as we drop to the low 70s. Mix of clouds and sun for us on Saturday. Light northwest winds, highs in the upper 80s to near 90 degrees. Clear Saturday night, we'll drop into the upper 60s. Lots of sunshine Sunday, highs again upper 80s. Scattered thunderstorms in the forecast again Monday and Tuesday, highs near 90. I'm meteorologist Ken Boone from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
He said, I'll love you till I die. She told him, you'll forget in time. As the years went slowly by, she still preyed upon his mind. Kept her picture on his wall. Went half crazy now and then. He still loved her through it all. Hoping she'd come back again. Kept some letters
and now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
A little George Jones there, why not? He's what are you doing? He stopped loving her today. Yeah, greatest country western song ever. Let's talk to Fran in Baltimore. Good morning, Fran. How are you? Hello, Fran. You with us? Hello, Fran. I guess Fran had to leave. She'll have to call back. I'm sorry, dear. Franny there? Franny there?
I'm here.
There she is. All right.
I'm still here.
I'll tell you, this part-time help. Ay, ay, ay.
Oh, no, he's a damn nice guy.
He is a nice guy.
You feel his spirit.
He's
really
a good
nice.
He's a good guy.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, so.
I was sitting here this morning.
Yep.
And a couple things crossed my mind. First thing, you know, almost 4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I made my first phone call to your show.
Right.
I wanted to call in so bad, but I didn't know what to talk about. And then you got on the horse people. And I said, oh, I can talk about that. But, you know, I remember back then, it was the same thing still going on.
Yep.
You're not, the hunters are not getting the respect and recognition that they deserve. But you know, you only deserve what you fight for and let people know that you need to be respected and you need to be treated like that. You know, that 10:30 in the morning thing is an insult to our intelligence. But now, back to this, they're not paying any fees. Well, the fees wouldn't really be a problem for them.
It's of course
the principle,
not.
It's the principle of the thing.
Sure.
But, you know, I told these guys 4 years ago, if you don't show up, you've got the numbers. You're not using them. I don't know what it is, but isn't it important enough to you, your lifestyle, to fight to preserve it? You know,
you're the number one cheerleader. I get it. Yeah, I know.
You know, come on now. You got plenty of people. But anyway, the other thing was I was trying to understand what was that a certain county that you have to go up in the stand? You can't be on the ground.
Montgomery County. And that's with bow hunting. Yes. If you're inside 100 yards of an occupied structure. To take advantage of the new law that reduces your safety zone to 50 yards rather than 150 yards, with archery tackle only, of course, you must be elevated. They don't want you shooting your crossbow horizontally across the the landscape or from the ground, you know, so that there would be a trajectory that would get you more range or anything like that.
Right.
So it's understandable. I mean,
okay.
I've been hunting the managed hunt program in Howard County for 16, 17 years now. Mm. And that's a requirement. You must be off the ground because, you know, you're within a couple of hundred yards of housing developments and so forth. You're out there in these county parks with, you know, county residences and developments all around you.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure that that angle is down towards the ground when you're shooting at a deer so that there's no, you know, even in the case of a pass-through, which happens often, you know, that slug's going to go into the ground. The same thing applies here.
Right.
It's not an unreasonable thing to ask.
Right. And let me tell you about this not streaming and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. The hunters are supposed to be survivors. We should have gone to Plan B after a week or two when they couldn't hear it on the internet and yada yada. Everybody can get near radio. You need to let Alan's sponsors know. Okay.
No, don't let my sponsors know that they're not reaching everybody.
No. What I'm saying is the call should be coming in more so.
Yeah.
So that you know that we're going to listen to this show. If you have to get one of those things and yell out the window where you are, we stand outside.
I hear you. Well, listen, go to WDCBM.com, go to Contact Us, and there's a number of email contacts there. There's the general manager. There's the engineer at WCBM.com. Let them know. Sean at WCBM.com. Sean's a program manager.
Yeah.
You know, Dr. Luber 2002 at Yahoo.com. Let them all know.
Well, and one little last note, I thought Robin would be back maybe today again.
Uh-huh.
But maybe she's in the car. I know she's listening
way. Well, I don't know. She might be.
Well, you can pass the word on.
All right.
Last week, she announced the date.
Yes.
That she set. Okay.
Yep.
December the 16th. And I was going to tease her if she was there today. But I was going to tell her, when you walk into, because I told her this privately, I mean, a man can give you a lot of nice gifts. But the most precious thing a man can bestow upon a woman is his name.
Mm-hmm.
And when she walks in to that banquet next year, it'll be said, oh, that's Robin Yetta. They will say, that's his wife over there.
Isn't she
that's
pretty, though?
That's Mrs. Alice over there.
That's right.
What a difference.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. You
so
got
anyway.
It.
All right. I'm not going to take up no more of your time.
All right, friend. All right. Thanks, girl. Have a good one.
Take care.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There she goes. Never a stronger advocate than Hunter for hunting than Fran, and she's going to get her opportunity to go. She's going to be on a bow hunt with the Physically Challenged Bow Hunters of America. Chuck Spohr, our buddy from up in Carroll County, he's going to be taking her. They both were drawn for a hunt in Indiana, so she's all jacked up about that. So, and we even had one of our listeners donate a crossbow for the Fran Fund, which is very, very cool. We got to get up with that and get that, make sure that that's ready to go. So, Fran, if you like listening to Fran and want to help her out with her trip, you know, just get in touch with me through my email address, ellis@ellisoutdoors, or you can go to info at mdhuntingcoalition.org. So, what are we leaving the show? Is that what you're calling? Is that what you're doing? Okay.